It was a joyful day, children, when Jesus began his last work week of his life. On the day before the Sabbath day, he had arrived from Jericho, traveling with his disciples, and he came to the little place of Bethany outside of Jerusalem. That's where he spent his last Sabbath day. That was a joyful day spent with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had a dinner on Sabbath evening at the house of Simon. That's also the place and time when Mary anointed him. It's all to prepare him for that Monday morning. It's really Sunday morning, but we'd say today Monday morning. When he left the city of Bethany and Bethphage as he's traveling to Jerusalem. Now if you look on the map tonight, you notice that Jesus came from the east towards Jerusalem. That's not so, that just doesn't happen like that. That's exactly what he needed to do because the door to the tabernacle faced also the east. He came from the east to come to Jerusalem in this case. And so after having spent that Sabbath day, our last work week starts, he gave to his disciples a strange command. His brothers, go ahead of me, please. And run into that little village out there. And you find there a young donkey. A colt tied. So the little animal is still tied up, you see, because he's young. And nobody ever sat on that colt. So we would say today that's an unbroken colt. Now, those of you boys out here, you got horses, don't you? It takes a little time to break a horse or to break a donkey so that they are allowing you to ride them. This one never rode anything. And nobody rode on it yet. Jesus, go get him. Go get him for me and loose him and bring him to me. Yeah, you can imagine when the owner sees that happening, he says, hey, what you doing out there? Just say to him, the Lord has need of him. I think this is the only time in the Bible, or the time at least in Jesus' life, that he calls himself Lord. I, the Lord. I need him. That's the end of the story. And it came such a power with that statement that those men let that donkey go. The Lord has need of him. And look how special when they finally take that colt and they walk him to Jesus. The disciples are getting all excited. They put some of their clothing on that little animal and they hoist Jesus up on the animal. And off they go, down the hill. And then up the hill to Jerusalem. Special. Slowly on, they're approaching the road, and everybody sees this happening, it says. And you notice what the people start doing? They started taking their own coats off. You know, red carpet, of course, for the king, right? They're laying all those coats on the ground, laying palm leaves of the trees, and Matthew tells them they're also laying those on the road because they want to make a very special entry. There comes the king. The king. Everybody's excited. Who knows who started to sing? But somebody started to sing all of a sudden. It says that. They started to sing as they bring Jesus on the way. And they are singing, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And Matthew adds, they sang also Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, that sounds maybe very special to you. And it's very special. Because you just sing it too. Did you notice that? You sang the same thing. Out of the Psalter. Well, did they have the Psalter then? Yeah, they did. They had Psalm 118. And they were singing out of Psalm 118 these very words on the way as Jesus walks into Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. The word Hosanna means save, we pray thee. Maybe in the days when Jesus had kind of lost that meaning, it had become kind of a praising word, Hosanna. But originally it meant, save us, we pray thee, son of David. Not everybody was happy. Luke informs us. He's heard. He's the only one that tells us that there were some Pharisees out there that weren't very happy about this. So they nuts up to Jesus next to him and says, hey master, tell them to be quiet. That's what they say. Master, rebuke thy disciples. This is not on. This is not fitting. Tell these men to stop singing this. The Psalm 118, it doesn't belong to thee. And Jesus looks quietly at those men. I don't know why they said it. Maybe you say, well, maybe they were a little bit afraid about the Romans. No, they're probably not so much about that. They're very unhappy about the honor that these people were giving to Jesus. They didn't like that. They don't like Jesus. And they don't like him when all these people are singing to him. And he's sitting there on a donkey, saying nothing, but allowing it to happen. And Jesus looks at them and he says, oh no, friends. If these people won't sing, then those stones will be singing. This is a time to sing. This is a time to rejoice. This is a time that you all ought to be singing. You ought to be singing too. About this moment of my coming into Jerusalem. This is not a time to be quiet. Well, friends, if that was true then, that's true today. This morning is not a time to be quiet. This morning is also a time to sing. Don't you come for that out here? Let's think about that question for a moment. Why do you come to church? Oh, mom and dad tells me to come. Oh, maybe that's one good reason, but not the best. Why do we come to church? Why do I preach? It should be that our hearts would be warmed and would be engaged and would be lifted up so that we begin to praise and sing and join with the words of Scripture and lift our hearts up. Now that's church. Church is not sitting in a pew, listening to a message and going home and doing nothing with it. Maybe criticize it like the Pharisees did. That makes Jesus weep. We'll hear about next week. The church is, friends, that our hearts go up. Our minds begin to praise. And to begin to sing. Now let us pray that the Holy Spirit will do that this morning. When we consider this passage a little closer. With one another. So let's listen together this morning to God's message to Jerusalem. God's message to Jerusalem. And there are two thoughts I want to take your thoughts to. Is first, behold, thy king cometh. That's what it says in... Now it doesn't say it here. You're right about that. And the second is, behold, thy king of peace cometh. Now, if you keep your finger at the book of Luke and page back to the book of Zechariah, because our text really comes from there. Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah is almost the last book in the Old Testament. And then we'll look at chapter 9, verse 9. Only read that verse at this moment and you'll see why I read it. This is God speaking to Zechariah, to the Israelites and the Jews in Jerusalem back then. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's just, and he's having salvation. Lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. 450 years ago, before this very joyous moment, Zechariah said that to the people of Israel.
And what did he say?
Rejoice greatly. Ah, they were doing that. Will you do that this morning? Will I do that this morning? And shout! No, I won't shout so loud because we have a baby here. But will you shout today? Out of your heart at least. Shouting. Why that? Because it's great joy. When we are very joyful, we raise our voices a little bit, don't we? And that's exactly what God the prophet tells to do. Shout and rejoice, you daughters of Jerusalem. You see, it's only Matthew in his gospel who connects this event of Jesus entering into Jerusalem with the text of Zechariah. And Matthew 21, verse 5, Matthew says, "All this was spoken that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass." Why would Matthew only quote that? That has to do with the fact that Matthew is writing to Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus. So Matthew says, look, proof again, Old Testament. You believe in the Old Testament, you Jews? Look, here it is. Old Testament says this was happening. See, that's why Jesus is the Messiah. That's why Matthew quotes it. Luke and Mark do not quote that passage from Zechariah, but we will bring it in this morning. And what does God call us to do? To rejoice greatly and to shout loudly. Who? The daughters of Zion. Who are that? Those are all the inhabitants that live in Jerusalem. No, not only the regenerated people in there. All of them. Because all of them belong to the King. Jesus was the King. They were his people, the people of Israel. And they were the daughters of Zion. Do not limit it. That's what they are. They are all the people of Israel. And the reason that God calls them to rejoice is because, behold, thy king cometh. Jehovah is the king of Israel. No, he's not only the king of Israel, of the regenerated people. He's the king of Israel, of the unregenerated people too. He is the king of Israel, of those who don't own him, and those who do own him. So hear the same. And this morning we are reminded, when I may baptize little Cash children, and you'll be reminded again of whose you are. Guido de Bray said it very beautifully in one of the Confessional Faith articles, I bear the banner and the ensign of Jesus on my forehead. That's like in the army, you have a little badge of the United States, or whatever country you have. I have the badge of Jesus on my forehead. I find that a great privilege. I have to be really jealous about that too. That I do not take the name of God that he has written on my forehead in vain. That would be a dishonor to him. But it tells me something. It tells me that my king cometh to me. And this morning, also to us. Jesus Christ is the king. Today he is not only the king of the daughters of Zion. No. Today he's the king of all the people in the world. See, after Pentecost, and on that very day of Pentecost, this is what Peter said, let all the house of Israel know, and let them all assuredly know that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And if I pull in another psalm, Psalm 2, he is the great king over all the earth. That's Psalm 47, by the way. A psalm that speaks about the Ascension Day. So today, Jesus is your king. I can go and point to every one of you here, including myself. Jesus is your king. Whether you serve him or not serve him, that doesn't make him no king or king. He is your king. He is king over all the earth. And now God's call is rejoice, and behold, thy king cometh unto you. There's only one king. And I feel greatly privileged, children, that I have such a great king. He's the best king in all the world. He's the wisest king. He's the most gentle king. He is the most loving king. He is the most holy king. He is the most just king. When the needy cry to that king hears. When those who fail that king and come back to him to repent, that king receives and forgives. If I could make you jealous this morning about this king, that'd be awesome. Thy king cometh unto thee. He is a supreme ruler over your and my life. He keeps track of my days. He listens to every thought. He writes down every word that I speak. Wow. Is that comforting to you to know that? Do you like him to know everything you think? Do you like him to know everything you say? That could make us a little bit uneasy, isn't it? But that is still the truth. In some way, there are people in the world to whom it is a great comfort to know that he knows everything. Think of Peter. He really failed his master. He so badly hurt him. And yet Peter had great comfort in this. Lord, thou knowest. Despite all my failures, I still love thee. Thou knowest. You see, there's people in the world that do like it, that God knows everything and that Jesus knows everything. Is it sweet and comforting to you? Do you feel inclined this morning to join these people as they are there on that mountain towards Jerusalem and to join in praising him? Do you ever feel like taking off your coat and laying it down before Christ? Would you have done it? I suppose we would have all done it. But it doesn't mean that everybody that did it out of great love for Christ. You know, this is kind of like a crowd, moving a crowd. We'll see that next week as we look at the latter passages of this chapter. Because a lot of these people here, they changed Hosanna about a few days later and crucify him. But there are also those among who did lay down that coat for Jesus with great joy. Now the second thought we want to explore this morning briefly is that God's message is, "Behold, thy King of Peace cometh." You know, Zechariah prophesied about this event, right? And every message, every word of that is a message. Let me reread that verse again that Zechariah spoke. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee." And how? He's just, he's having salvation, and he comes lowly riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That's different. This King Jesus is different than all other kings. That makes him so special. See, he doesn't come in a Cadillac. Not in an armored vehicle. He doesn't come with that. He comes on a donkey. Now that's not so unusual. Perhaps you're thinking, well, it's hugely unusual. For a king to come on a donkey? Come on. You all know, children, the stories about war. What animals does kings ride on back then? Big horse. Biggest black, white horse. Right? Something imposing, warlike. Donkeys? You don't use those for that. But Jesus does. Jesus is an unusual king. Why is he unusual? Think a moment. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." Usually kings don't come. Kings tell you to come. Have you ever noticed that? They demand you to come to you, to them. You come to me. Not this king. This king cometh unto them. That's already special. Here is this great King God, King Jesus. Doesn't set up a throne somewhere outside Jerusalem and tell all the Jerusalem people, come out to me. And come honor your king. No, no. This is the king coming. That's already special, don't you think? As the Redeemer, as the Savior, he is coming to Jerusalem. Usually kings come with great fanfare and use the majestic horses and have all kinds of people around them trumpeting and so on. But not Jesus. He came lowly, sitting on a borrowed donkey. Didn't even own one. He had to go get one. Now usually when king comes, you know, they come riding in, smiling and waving at the people. And then they come to the place where they need to be and they stand up on a big podium and have a big speech. And they tell everybody about how great they are. Not this king. He has a great sermon. We'll look at it next week. You know what his sermon is? It's big tears rolling down his cheek. He doesn't say a word. But this king cries. We're going to have to ask ourselves this next coming Sunday what the reason is that he's crying here. This is a very great and unusual king, this King Jesus. Kings often are unjust and selfish and unfair. But no, Zechariah says, this king is just. He's right and he does right. He is upholding the law of God, but he also lives the law of God. He is such a king who lives justly and does mercy and is upholding the law. And he's living like a glorious, glorious king. He's not above the law, as sometimes kings are, you know. They take these shortcuts and they save favor themselves and they lie and they cheat and they use their power. No, none of that. Not Jesus. He's a law king. He's just. And mostly kings come demanding honor and commanding gifts, but not Jesus. Zechariah says he comes bringing salvation. And that's the most beautiful part of King Jesus. See, the people in Jerusalem, they're looking forward to Jesus coming into the town because they think he's going to throw all the Romans out and save them from all those Romans who are walking around their country as if they own it. And they just can't wait for the day to have them all chased out of the country. And they thought that's what Jesus is going to come to do. And maybe others thought, well, that Jesus is going to make my life better and going to be happy. Not anything of that. Jesus came to bring salvation. And that salvation is the word peace. In the Hebrew, it's the word shalom. And that's even more than peace. That's peace, that is wholeness, that is satisfaction, that is health, that is relationships restored, that is so rich. That's what Jesus came to do, to bring peace between God and man and between man and man. That's the glory of Christ. And see him sitting there on that donkey as he walks into Jerusalem. The people indeed are singing about it. I didn't even know that they realized what they're all singing. But they say, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed in peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Oh, congregation and friends, hear God's call this morning. We are to rejoice and we are to shout greatly. Why is that? Why doesn't worship hour like this have to be an hour of great rejoicing? Why is that? Because the king comes to you this morning. No, he comes not just to you and me. He comes to you and me in peace. Because did you realize that a donkey was the animal of peace? Symbol of peace in the Bible. That's why he took a donkey. That's why he didn't come on a horse. Because Jesus doesn't come as a horse, on a horse as a captain and as a ruler to put everything straight. As a warlike one. No. Christ comes in the garments and the clothing of salvation. God in Christ. Listen to this. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. It is God who sends his Son, Jesus Christ, and he comes to us not to slay us. He didn't come to punish us. He didn't come to destroy us. He didn't come to say to us, you've sealed your fate, you've chosen in Adam to fall, off you go. Done. It's over. He didn't come to us like that. He still doesn't come to us like that. Even ever since the fall of Adam, we have made it worse. Last week, did you make it better or worse between God and you? See, that's how we have to come to Sunday, right? And think about that for a moment. Did I make it better or worse this last week? I made it worse. I didn't live up to God's standards. I didn't love him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, all my strength. I didn't love every neighbor as myself. Made it worse. And still God comes to us this morning on the donkey. He is going to come someday on the cloud. No more donkey. Sets his throne on the cloud. He will call you all by name. He calls you by name. My name, your name. We're all going to come before him, but no more peace then. Then the scepter of peace is done. But today, he comes yet in the garments of peace. Not seeking to destroy us. Not trying to arrest us and to bring us before the judge. No. God is not seeking your or my destruction. Though he is ever right. He's coming to us in his word. And this morning also again in the sacrament. As I may lay that water on the head of Cass. Whose hand is this? Laying on this man. This boy. I love it that Reverend Verrain has said that many years ago. I remember that sermon. In baptism, it's like Jesus lays his hand on your forehead and he swears an oath. I will be your God. One of your favorite ministers is Reverend Lemaine, right? For some of you older ones, right? You know what he said? God begins with you at baptism. God begins with you. At baptism. Amazing statement. Begins with what? I am not desiring your death, my child. Rosa, Mike, you're going to have to tell him that. He is a child born outside of paradise. Sinner, like we all are, boys. And girls, can you listen for a moment, kids? We're all like those bad boys and bad girls. Sinful and evil. And you know what God said when you were baptized? I'll be your God. This morning, five times, he reminded us of that already. Five times I read it. I am the Lord your God. I began with you. With all of you. You were old. As long time ago that you were baptized. I know the date I was baptized. October 29 in my agenda is a day that I worship God in my own private prayers. That's the day I was baptized. God said to me, I will be the Lord your God. Thy King cometh unto you in peace. Children, in peace. God came to you in peace. Very gently. Very lovingly. And he's seeking what? He's seeking your salvation. I wonder how many tears, if Jesus would be allowed today to have tears. He doesn't have tears in heaven. How many tears would he have shed already over you? As he sees you sitting in church and knows when you go out of church, you go out as if you never heard him. You go home as if he never existed, talked to you, spoke to you. Think about that. The heart of Christ is full of love. Didn't you sing it? Or maybe you didn't believe what you sang. Oh, give thanks, for he is good and boundless is his love. Did you sing that? Did you mean it? Or did we sing it thoughtlessly? Oh, here's an evidence of it this morning, as there's an evidence in this history. When he walks into that very city of Jerusalem, that sacred sign of baptism is God's message personalized to us. I'm coming to seek your peace. I'm coming to promote your peace. I'm coming to make peace possible between you and God. Let it sink in, friends. You and I broke the peace. We turned away from our Creator. We closed the way back by making ourselves total sinners. We provoked him to anger. We destroyed his beautiful work. We prefer sin over holiness. We preferred self and the devil over God. We preferred hatred over love, death over life, and rebellion over obedience. Let's sink in for a moment. And then here, shout, O daughters of Zion, children of Jerusalem, grown-ups of Jerusalem, shout greatly, behold, thy king cometh unto you, and he cometh lowly on an ass, on the colt of an ass, because he comes as a God of peace. And he is telling us over and over, though you are born as a child of wrath, and though you are an eternal curse, and though you are doomed to death, and though you are unable to restore yourself, I have no pleasure to carry through the final sentence. But I have a pleasure in it if you will turn and return and live with me in the everlasting mansions here above and the eternal world hereafter. Hear what God is saying this morning to us, showing it in the sign and the seal of this baptism as well. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, not to destroy, but riding on the colt of a donkey, embracing the animal of peace, because I seek not your just damnation. I come bringing salvation. So encouraging, isn't it? Also to us parents, we cannot bring our children to salvation. We cannot convert a heart. I can't. Preachers can. Our parents can. But we can bring them to Jesus then. For he is the one that can bring salvation. And woe to you and me if we hinder our children to come to Jesus. There's nothing that makes Jesus more angry than that. It says that in the scripture somewhere earlier in this book. He became very displeased. Yeah, chapter 18. When the disciples were hindering it, and Jesus became very displeased and rebuked them, for he says, such are the kingdom of God. Let these children come unto me. So as we now think this morning, incline your ear, come unto me. This king came to us. Will you come to him? But we go home today, strip off our garments, and lay them before Jesus. its garments. Wow. Your self-worth? Let's begin with that one. Let him trample it. It's not worth a thing. Your beautiful religion? Lay it in front of him. Let him walk over it. It's not worth a thing. It's all unclean. And more so, our honor, our devotion. Though we express it, did you know that a donkey was an unclean animal? That struck me when I was thinking about that this week. That was an unclean animal. Jesus was willing to ride on it as he entered into Jerusalem. It's a clear message, friends. He knows that you and I are unclean. He knows you are unworthy. And yet this morning, he lays his hand on this child this morning as he's laid it on you and me. He clean, I unclean. That's only possible because Jesus is a substitute and a redeemer. And he can bring God and you and me together in a holy peace. Do you think that we have reasons to rejoice this morning? And to sing greatly? And to praise the Lord? That's such a Savior? Is it not time to charge your own heart? Oh heart, tremble heart. Tremble not to despise and to provoke him to anger who is coming to me with peace and pardon and compassion and love. Is it not time to say, oh, awake you heart. Despise not the riches of his goodness and forbearance. Shout and rejoice or pray and beg. Almighty, come in my life to save me. Amen.